Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. What do you make of that, Ray? The Maple Leafs, other teams, you know, the head coach is the only guy that can speak, and the assistants are muzzled completely.
Well, I think it's kind of silly. Now, I wouldn't want my assistants, randomly doing interviews. Like somebody's going to do an in-depth story on one of the assistant coaches. I'd want to know if I'm the PR department when that's happening. I don't want guys just walking up to them and starting to interview them. I want to have a little sense of what's being said and when it's being said. But for the most part, like I think O was kind of touching on, is like, it's not like these guys are going to say, oh yeah, by the way, we're benching player A. Like, that stuff's going to come from the head coach.
It's just ridiculous.
I like when teams have like the, you know, on a specific day, San Jose does it a lot, and they did it a lot in the playoffs, was that Steve Spott would go out and speak. Like, why not? Like, it's a different voice. It's different phrasing. It gives somebody else to listen to. Like, I don't know. So much of it seems that in a lot of ways about control. That, you know, I'm the head guy. I'm the only guy that'll speak. I'll deliver the message in the tone that I want it to be delivered in. And after a while, you're tired of the media. The media is tired of you. I think by letting somebody else speak, that you stretch out that period of time before everybody's tired of each other, and it can only help you.
There's, I think Toronto is the one place where they should let the assistant, like, see, I want to hear Babs say dig in anymore. I don't.
They do the complete opposite here, though. Like, even in the front office, only Kyle Dubas will speak, and occasionally Shanahan. They hire, you know, an assistant GM. That guy's not doing the rounds. No one can talk to him.
I've never heard that anywhere else, though, Brian. I can't even think, Pooley, I don't know. Have you even heard of an assistant GM giving interviews anywhere? I don't ever think I've heard that.
It used to be here. Pooley used to do interviews when you were here in the front office with Nonis and Burke.
Yes.
And,
yeah. We split it up.
Right.
We were all involved doing radio hits or whatever. So, yeah, I think they do, Ray, more than you probably think they do. I mean, I think they do radio hits or whatever to spread it out. Just to balance it a little bit.
I'm trying to think, like, in Calgary. Well, in Calgary, I guess you hear from Craig Conroy.
Yeah, you do. For sure you hear from Craig.
Yeah.
Brad Pascal, from?
Yeah, I'm trying to think in Winnipeg.
Zinger hides anyway. You never.
Yeah,
he's hiding behind a pole right now.
You could have a microphone beside him and he'd escape somewhere.
He is the shadow. He is unbelievable.
But it is interesting. A lot of it is so much about control, and it's that way from the way, you know, teams like to dictate everything, every schedule, every minute, every player availability, every which players are available to speak after practice, all that. They're all trying to control the message 100%, and that can never be done.
Well, they're trying to perfect it. Like, they have, how it has changed so much over the years since I've been in the media in Toronto, like dating back to Ron Wilson, where he would do radio interviews every single week. Every single Friday he was on the radio. And now Mike Babcock.
Well, most coaches have radio shows.
Right, a lot of them. And not only in the NHL.
Their own? Pardon? Yeah.
Their own?
Yeah, well, that's usually part of the deal with their local affiliate or whatever, is that they do, you know, a regular hit.
They call it their show.
Yeah, they call it a show.
It's built into a morning
10-minute hit or
a
15-minute hit. Yeah.
Yeah, like Bill Belichick is on the radio every single week in New England. That's Bill Belichick.
That must be riveting.
Well, no kidding, but I'm sure there's value to it. Like, if you're in the car, you might be like, no, Belichick. Like, I don't know if they have to do every week. I'm not saying they have to do every week. And now with the media landscape in Toronto, it's very different than it was back when Wilson was here. But Babcock, you know, he does his scrum, but he doesn't do a lot more than that. And the assistant coach is like,
I wouldn't either. It's like, I'll do my scrum, which is daily, which is painful enough, which is three times a day on game days. That's enough.
And they're clearly on his terms, those scrums.
Oh, yeah. When he's finished answering, thank you and goodbye.
Right.
Have a good day, guys.
Well, he did that in game 7. He took off. One hard question about Patrick Marleau being on the ice, and he had enough. which I thought was embarrassing, and that's where someone should have stepped in. Although I guess, what are you going to say if you're running the PR? You can't force them to sit down and take more.
Yeah, you want to do that? Good luck.
Yeah, there's not much you can do, I guess. But anyway, you've had an interesting day over there. How about this Canadian team tying the game with 0.4 left on the clock? Have you ever called a game like that or a finish like that?
Not that late. Heck, 4 games ago, Mark Stone scored with 1.8 seconds left, and that was late. And then this, it seemed like, even though the puck was behind the goalie 3 or 4 times in the third period, you know, they couldn't, Dubois had a couple chances, he couldn't get it to go, and it kind of seemed like, even though Canada was dominating the period, that they were just out of time. Marchessault had a chance with like 6 or 7 seconds left. The puck went in the corner, and it's like, I'm thinking as Gord's calling the game out, that's over. It's done. And then it comes to Severson. The first shot gets blocked, and it comes right back to him. And you know, and then the thing goes right through the goalie. And it's funny, there's no, in the rink here, there's not even a green light that goes on behind the net. So, you know, in the NHL rinks, the green light's the end of the period. And that's not the definitive answer, but at least it gives you a sense of, you know, of whether it was in or not, because we look up on the clock, it says it's got all zeros. Then you got to wait for the review. And I mean, Mark Stone's so good. Like, I as I'm watching, I come up with this, and I'm like, I know they don't play the same position, but he's as close to Patrice Bergeron, in my mind, as there is. He scores, he kills the penalties, he plays on the power play, he steals the puck, he can do whatever you need him to do. Bergeron's not super fast. Stone's not either. But they're always seemingly in the right spot. Ryan O'Reilly would be another guy that I'd throw into that group. They're kind of all the same. Like, they're just in the right place all the time.
The really remarkable thing, Ray, is that he was available in late February. To think of a player of that caliber at 27 years old, and yes, the contract was looming, he was a, you know, pending UFA, but that player, as great as he is, was available. And he was traded for, yes, a good prospect, but he was traded in late February. You could have had that player in your team.
Well, it basically, as I, you know, my sense, and just in talking to people around, was that Ottawa was going to make that deal not for futures. They were going to make that deal for the very best prospect that they were able to get, and that was Eric Brandstrom. And so if I'm another team and I've got a young prospect and I think I've got a chance of getting Mark Stone signed, like a very good prospect, because Brandstrom's a top end, you know, has top end potential. Man, if I can plug Mark Stone into my lineup, he's not going to get slower or too slow. He's already not fast enough. It doesn't matter. His brain goes way faster than the game. He's always like in, I don't know, he's always there. He's always in the way. He always gets the puck. And he's got strong hands, and he's got good hands. He's had an amazing tournament. And, you know, Vegas got to be thrilled to have him locked up.
Well, we all conceded that if it was an Olympic year, Mark Stone would be on the team. I don't know where he would play up and down the lineup, because Bergeron plays on the wing with Sid. So, you know, Stone's going to play further down the lineup, I guess, on the right side. But we couldn't think of a guy on the fly, you know, anyone else on this current team that would make an Olympic team. Is there anyone we're missing?
Would Sean Couturier be in?
Maybe.
Yeah, potentially in a defensive role.
Fourth line guy.
Although he scores a lot of points now, potentially. He's taking all the big draws over there. He's playing a significant role over there on that team.
I mean, their top, the guy they use the most on the blue line is Shabbat, but he wouldn't be in that group yet. I don't think so. Would Matt Murray be in contention for one of the goalies?
Maybe. Maybe third, you know, second or third guy, I think, maybe, yeah. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, yeah, they had to squeak past Switzerland, but Switzerland's a pretty good team. Like, Yossi's over there, and they got a couple of players, and yet here they are.
The Swiss are like a pain in the ass.
Always.
Like, they just never go away.
Right.
They're never the best team, except they play really well. They seem comfortable when they don't have the puck. They just, like, check, 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 check. And they hang around, all of a sudden they got the lead. And it's kind of like the Finns. If you can name five guys on this Finnish roster, like you win the game.
Yeah.
Because Gord had a line early in the tournament. He's like, there's a warehouse of Finnish players, and they're all the same, outside of the very highly skilled ones. He's like the guy that got 4 points today, scored the winner, Manninen. He's a really good player. He's been on a couple of world championship teams, but he's the same as everybody else. They all skate. They all check. They're all blocking shots, and nothing's really fancy. And if you put those two rosters together, I was looking at my game prep, and the two rosters are sitting side by side. The Swedes should blast those guys. It shouldn't even be close. And Finland's going on, and the Swedes are going home.
Well, and William Nylander's starting his offseason now.
18 points?
What a tournament.
What the final was?
How long would you give him off? Like, how long should he take off, Ray, with the year he had and not playing half the season? What should his program be?
He should be back at it June 15th. Because he still played 65 games, right? Mm-hmm. Somewhere in that range, I think. Take a couple of weeks off. Make sure that you're healthy and ready to go. And then June 15th, that gives you, you know, 2.5, almost 3 months till training camp. And, you know, he's in playing shape now because he just finished. And that gives you plenty of time to be ready to go. I will say this about him today. He made an unbelievable play on the power play goal. He missed a breakaway in the third period. Didn't notice him one other time.
Well.
Like, didn't get anything done. The Swedes, which I love the Swedish players, like I really do. They're great teammates, and they do so much right. But it was driving me crazy as they were later in the game. They've been, you know, they're pushed back in their zone, and they keep rolling out four lines. They keep rolling out four lines. Hey, I got an idea. How about play the guys that can protect the lead in the NHL? They're probably good enough here. Shorten the bench. Go down to 4D. Tell your guys, we're better than them. How about making a pass to make a play to get out of the zone? They punted out to center ice, and here come the Finns again. And they got burned. I mean, their tying goal was with like a minute and 30 left. And then the Finns went in overtime. Lundqvist was not good today. He didn't have a very good tournament. And that'll be big news in Sweden that they didn't get themselves to the semis.
How do you feel about that piece in The Athletic before we let you go?
that piece could have gone in the way that our show mostly goes.
Anywhere.
Like, I thought it was pretty well on the lane, pretty well in the lines there, you know? Like, I think Sean did a good job of keeping it on the tracks.
Yeah, I think we got lucky. Like, he's he's a nice guy, and he came in. He wrote, it was a flattering piece. We got really lucky to be a part of it. We're very appreciative, but that could have gone south. It could have been a hit piece pretty easily.
Well, just think, the first time that it occurred to him that, oh, my God, I'm really interested, I gotta write about these guys or start following them a little closer. We're talking about my vasectomy reversal and your buddy's
circumcision at 30.
30.
Yeah, that's how you launch a great article. That is a launch pad for an article.
What do they call that?
One.
That's the hook to the story. They're like, these idiots talk about this on sports radio. Are you kidding me?
Yep, and it's not going to stop. That's how we roll.
Circumcised at 30 is a tough, tough go.
It's a sacrifice unlike anything I've made in my life, and I don't think
match
it.
Just think, your buddy's wife is going to say, I want you to come to the mall with me on Sunday. He can always say, do you know what I've done for you?
Right. The circumcision card. The circumcision card is a very unique card, but it's a powerful one, man. It's out of the doghouse.
It might be the only one
for eternity. I go out with the boys and get drunk every night.
Yeah.
There's your payback.
I would like to apologize to Pooley for calling him old during the broadcast, but I meant it.
I appreciate that. It was a bit of a cheap shot. You slid it right into the conversation.
It's all good.
Yeah.
You might reference the fact that you played most of your career against me as well, Ray.
Oh, that's irrelevant. Gord was talking about Tim Kerr, and for those of you that don't know Tim Kerr, he was a scorer with the Flyers, and then he said, you know, Ray, you know, not to leave out part of the story, you played a long time against him. I said, I'm way younger than him. I said, now Pooley played with him. He's old.
There you go. Sandbag
so
Pooley.
Well,
unnecessary.
He's far away.
Halfway
he's
around
far
the world.
Away. He can't retaliate.
He's probably not listening. No. Or he was.
All right, buddy.
Or he was.
Well, enjoy it over there. I'm sure if we don't do it tomorrow, we'll do it early next week.
Yeah, I'm going to, we're going to Bratislava tomorrow, and then, what do we got, semifinals on Saturday, and the medal games on Sunday, and we're on the plane Monday.
All right, perfect, man. Enjoy it.
Beautiful. Take care, guys.
There
later.
He is, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days are back. Purchase any vehicle and get a $500 gift certificate to Appliance Canada, plus get rates from 0%, MapleToyota.com.